because it's Monday. I know y'all at work, but we make your Mondays so much better. So this is another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy.
I'm Wheezy, and apparently I am really hoeing on the front lines because there's a nigga sitting next to me with a bunch of rope.
So this episode, if you ain't read the title, is B is for Bondage. Wheezy and I just had her friend on an episode of our Patreon, and she titled it A is for Anal. So it only made sense that now we're on B. Let's go ahead and get it going like that. So I guess before we start, go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know what you do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Sir Dashington. I am a erotic visual performance artist. I am a healer. I am a dom. I do a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
You sound a little passive to be a dom.
Do you find? Passive?
Yeah, you feel very calm and you're soft spoken. I feel like people always assume that doms are like, "Yo, I'm da da da."
Right.
Do women ever say that to you, that they're surprised that you're a dom later because you're so soft spoken?
I kind of thrive off the concept of people not, you know, getting caught up in whatever they see and whatever the mirage they see, and they want to claim it and say, okay, dom is supposed to be this type or whatever. But I'm the type of person, I really don't fall into any type of box. That's, you could say, if you say, yeah, I'm this, then somehow I'm going to not somehow fit that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how kind of I made this whole thing work for myself.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily, you know, go around and say, yeah, I'm a dom. I don't never call myself a dom, really. You know what I'm saying?
So right. The reason I brought that up is like a lot of women have said things to me, like when I talk about doms in my life, asking if, you know, they're like super assertive, or if they make me feel like I even have a choice, things like that. And it's like realizing that being a sub is the choice, relinquishing that power to somebody, and a dom having, you know, the honor of being dominant to you.
Right.
Like, it's not, every dom isn't one in the same. You don't have to think, you know, it's someone out here with a whip ready to like make you get on your knees and beat the shit out of you. It's absolutely what you asked for.
Right. It's absolutely what you asked for. And I feel like there's different types of doms, you know what I'm saying? And once you get into it, you start to realize there's different type of there's some doms are really sadistic and they really get off from getting pain. And then there's some guys like myself, I'm more of a sensual dom. So, and I like to do that within the realm that I'm doing it with. I'm not like living 24/7. I'm not expecting nobody to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I still want a powerful black woman.
We're allowed to like eat what we want?
Yeah, I still want a powerful black woman to make her own decision. That's a boss that when it comes down to the bedroom, and when I make my faces, when I show her certain things and it's ready to make that move, she already knows where to go. I don't
even have
to say anything.
A sensual dom kind of reminds me of a King Noir. Like, he's very sensual and his videos and how he even treats a woman, but he's very much a dom. So you said you're an erotic visual artist. Performance artist. And that is your full-time job, or
that's
is
my,
this a hobby?
It's my full-time thing.
Your full-time? Oh, so you into bondage full-time?
Well, it's not that I'm into bondage full-time. What happens is I started doing this as an artist. I'm an artist. So I was doing shows out in Brooklyn. I had this party called the Mad Tea Art Party. I was giving anybody shroom tea, getting them zooted on shrooms. And I would do these scenes where I have girls dancing in front of a canvas, and I would throw paint on them. And then
on shrooms?
Yeah.
That's dope.
It's all some trippy shit. Even all this stuff I do is all some trippy, shroomed out shit that I just started from back in the day.
And I just want y'all to know, if y'all are not watching us on YouTube, we are sitting across from a black man with dreads. This is not... I associate like the shrooms and like those type of parties, I mean, to be white people shit. So...
Shit, man. Well, to be real, all these fucking plants come from people. That's the medicine that comes.
I just kind of don't fall into any of those. I never let whatever I am or whoever people think that I am stop me from doing anything I want to do or try to do. So I didn't even like think about it like that in that realm. But I start these events, and then one of my homegirls told me to spank her with whips dipped in paint and make a canvas painting. And I'm like, oh, fuck, hell yeah, I'm going to do this shit.
Right.
And I actually started looking it up to see if anybody was doing this shit, and I didn't see nobody doing it. And then I seen girls tied up. And me being a Cub Scout, a Boy Scout, I was a Pathfinder. I grew up, like, I had to learn my knots to get my little badges and shit. So as soon as I saw that shit, I was like, oh, I could do that shit. I'm going to tie her up first, and I'm going to boom, 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 boom. And literally, I just
brought it to the Boy Scouts.
Literally, yeah.
I guess that's where you learned to tie your first knot.
Yeah, literally, I brought it to the church, because we come down to it was like a church Boy Scout program.
Oh, shit.
That they put their hands little soldiers,
the
soldiers. They didn't put the little soldiers into us. And
that shit is really hard to do, bruh. When I was in Japan, like, they had a section of a sex store that was all about like taking a class and learning how to tie. So I sat in there for like 5 minutes. They didn't speak English, but I was like, oh wow, okay. Like, YouTube really helps, but that shit is really hard. And literally,
I started this shit, like, literally, I went to YouTube a week before my show, learned one fucking tie, how to do it, did this shit like 20 times, whatever I gotta do it, figured it out, and did that one tie for the show, and did it from there. And once I did that show, people were like, yo, that shit is, when you doing it again, girls, like, I'm next.
Oh, yeah, and you were like, sent in by about 3 of our followers on Instagram, and they're like, if y'all do bondage, you have to get this guy on. So your page has been sent multiple times, and I know we talked even last year.
Yeah, she has been over the years.
We've been
like,
I know for a long time, so I'm glad we finally
nice
got to
get you on. Get to have someone that like we've been chatting with for a while.
Right.
I was just thinking too when you mentioned tying someone up. We had a guest a few weeks ago, Liz Goldwyn, who talks about a friend of hers who tied her up and it took 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What's the longest? And she was completely bound, I think. Like, what's the longest it's ever taken you to tie someone up?
Well, see, I me being a performance artist, and I think about the show. I think about people watching. How many? You know, how long is it going to get people's attention span? So I do different things to intrigue people while I'm doing a tie, so it doesn't look like you're just getting tied up for a long time. But I do sessions that my sessions that I have my clients, you know, 2 hours minimum.
2 hours minimum.
Yeah, 2 hours minimum. You know what I'm saying?
2 hours minimum of being tied up.
Well, it's not gonna be tied up for the whole time. Like what I do is I start off with a consultation in the beginning. We talk. I find out what you're comfortable with, what you're not, your do's, your don'ts. We kind of vibe out. We laugh, we joke. You know what I'm saying? And then then I just get into the session. You tell me what you want to do. I sent you guys earlier. I have like a whole menu. You tell me what things you want to do. You can mix them up however you want to do within the time frame you want to do it. And I come to people. I go to them. I travel to them.
You do in-house calls.
I do in-house calls.
So is that how you make your money?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I do that, and I do a lot of shows.
Do you consider it sex work?
It's weird. It's feeling a weird line because I feel like it's, for me, it's not sex work. Like as far as I'm concerned, like I ain't putting my dick out and inserting nobody. So that to me, I'm not having sex.
However,
do you think stripping is sex work?
Strippers, yeah, I was about to say strippers dance and they're not having intercourse, but they're considered a line of sex work. And
right.
I'm not gonna read off the prices because we'll give your booking if anyone's interested. But I want to read off some of your services, and then maybe we can be like, how can you not consider this sex work? So some of the services that Sir Dashington provides is goddess pampering service. It's all sensual play, no pain or ropes. But that's optional.
It was optional.
It is optional. So real quick, I'm actually going to compare that to a boyfriend experience, a BFE. Because a lot of that, or GFE for girlfriends, they don't necessarily have to have sex, but it's more of the intimacy.
It's more of the intimacy. Some people want to touch. People want to cuddle. People want to, it's all that stuff. So it's more
escorts
banged around that.
And they're sex workers, just so you know, because we got to get you to reclaim your sex work title. The next one is Toyland. So that includes ropes and sex toy sampler. You have a spank and paint, which includes ropes and floggers dipped in paint, which you explained. Electrocutioner, electroplay, and toy ropes optional. Can you explain what electroplay is?
Electroplay is just like a whole unit of things people like to play with electricity. And so there's toys, it's the neon wand, which has like a little dial on it, and you can kind of touch the wand, kind of table. It's a really, really light version of it. You can control the volume, how hard and how high it is. So you find people's really good spot. If you do it really at a nice level, it could tickle somebody. I've seen people laugh until they bust nuts.
What are places like, they normally want to be electrocuted?
I tickle them. Well, I usually don't give them a choice. We usually get tied up and stuff like that. So I used to tantalize and mess with you and find your sweet spot. That's my niche. That's
is
my thing.
Is everyone's spot different?
Everybody's different. You know what I mean? Before I start a session, like if I do a session most of the time, I sniff the girl from head to toe. When I sniff her from head to toe on some old primal shit, I swear to God, I sniff her from head to toe, and when I finish sniffing her, basically I connect in with her body and her body kind of tells me.
I did this recently during like a body worshiping session. I was talking about on our Patreon episode how like we did a lot of foreplay for an hour. Yeah, it wasn't like a weird sniff, but it was like really going down and smelling my entire body.
Yeah, sniff your entire
body.
That
shit is kind of hot to me.
It actually like locks me into your energy and your vibe. It's weird. And then from there, literally, I pride myself off of women. I have to say, yeah, you have to do A, B, C, D. From there, I read your body and I teach people how
to
tap
into that
shit.
Man, y'all need to listen to this because that's what y'all need to be doing.
I have classes and I try to teach guys.
I'm sorry, I did say it wrong. I was the one who did it. I used the wrong wording. Like, his hair to beard, neck, chest. Like, I love the smell of just, I don't know. There's those pheromones that,
yeah,
like, just
pheromones.
Can't.
Just stuff you can't even explain. It's hard to even say. There's, like, just things. Sometimes my sessions, things happen that are, like, really hard for me to explain, like, what happens. It's literally out of my hands. I feel like this.
Can they tell you're doing it? Because yeah, I don't know if he knew what I was doing.
People tell me what I'm doing. I've done stuff where I'm doing stuff where I'm not even touch people's body. And when I pull up, their whole body lifts the fuck up. And I'm just like they had strings.
It's energy. That's the real thing with erotica, right? It's like figuring out a way besides penetrative or even sometimes your genitals of like turning each other on.
Mm-hmm. So the next one kind of goes without explanation. It's wax on, wax off, which is wax play. Mm-hmm. You have rope therapy, rope bondage for beginners, sensual dominance for men. Mm-hmm. So is that you teaching sensual dominance to men?
Those last three are classes. Those are like courses I teach or trainings or lessons. I do rope bondage for beginners. I do rope therapy is different. Rope therapy is where I tie people up and we talk about things that are actually binding them and holding them down, and we go through breathing exercises, and then I release them in a representation of like letting that shit go. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And getting past certain things, you know, certain trauma. A lot of women come to me with different trauma. They haven't came in forever, or they don't know how to squirt, or they don't have these different things. So they come to me, and I show them how to do it, and I do these things to them, and release and show them how to climax.
All right. These next two, the last two that we'll talk about. You have one that's called What's for Dinner. Mm-hmm. Food porn depends on the menu. The menu price may vary for this, but you climax with food or dinner served in a kiddie bowl.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, I'll tie her up, and I'll like raid her refrigerator, cook a whole fucking meal.
You raid in her refrigerator?
Raid her refrigerator, make a fucking meal, and then put that shit in a bowl, and then feed it to her like an animal.
Yo, shut up!
And this is coming from a Negro.
Yo,
everybody.
Shut up!
Mm-hmm. One of
and
our
this,
own.
This last one that I want to talk about, if you can, what the fuck is it? You do a unicorn kidnap, and this is the most expensive on the goddamn.
Unicorn
things.
Kidnap is basically an organized kidnap where you know the day. Listen, you know the day.
We a lot of people have seen that in the bonding.
You know the
first
day.
Episode.
You know the day, but you don't know when and where I'm gonna snatch you up from. And then I get a U-Haul van, and I come, I snatch your ass up, and I'll tie you up in the van, take you to another location, and then do a whole full BDSM scene.
So this is kind of playing into. I was having this conversation actually. Oh my God, it was with Jill Soloway. So we met up with this lady in LA. It was me, her, and Beard Bay. And I was like, there's a lot of guilt that surrounds me around rape fantasies. And I'm like, all I want to do is give someone a key to my house, right? Give them like a 3-day span. Don't tell me when you come in, but also fuck the shit out of me when you get there. I don't want it to be like, because unwanted is a porn category, which I don't like that. I more so want like the excitement of it. Like, I don't want to be like really saying no. I just want it to be like, ooh, where are you taking me?
So bad. Like that whole unwanted thing, there's actually.
I don't like playing rape plays.
Because there's a difference between what you're talking about and rape.
Yeah,
like,
that's different. There's that. And then there's actually like, I've had girls that I was having sex with and they're saying, rape me, daddy, rape me, daddy, rape me. Screaming that shit loud as fuck. And I'm just like.
Whoa!
I stop and I'm like,
you know why? Because it's that fucking like, dom shit. They think that's part of it.
And then it's playing into this shit because then she thinks I'm playing. I'm like, listen, shut the fuck up. Like, can't be screaming that shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody can come jump, kick down the door and kick my ass. You
it's so crazy. There's this porn that I've been watching recently, and it's so kind of it's along the unwanted thing. What is it? It's called. Mall something, but basically it's they're in like a back room where like you get caught for shoplifting, and so it's all these guys that get caught for shoplifting, and in order for the police or for the mall security not to call the police, he's like, you gotta fuck me. So it'd be all these men like, no, I don't know, but okay, just because I don't want to go to jail. And then he starts making the guys like suck his dick, and then like he also like records it, so you see like a camera phone angle then the actual room angle. It's really like some unwanted shit, because these are all straight men that now are having to suck dick to keep out of jail. So it's kind of some weird shit.
I want you to go back really quick to talking about the releasing the ropes and the releasing the traumas. Like, I don't really know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but I do know what you're talking about. I've heard about it and read about it. Can you talk about that one more time? Like, just how much like when doing certain type of psychedelics or drugs, right? We just brought up ayahuasca. It's funny. I'm bringing it up again. They say that you go through this period of darkness. To then, you know, release it and feel better. Even throwing up during it is that ritual, is like letting all of those demons go, like releasing yourself. Talk about the trauma and like how untying the ropes breaks it a little bit.
Well, I've noticed that with the tying the ropes, what I do is I make sure that when I do this session, that we have a nice full consultation before we even start. So I know exactly what we're talking about, we're getting into. And then I kind of, once I get to a certain place where I know I'm hitting certain trigger areas, then it's like, okay, it's time to tie you up. And then I tie them up into this situation. And then from there, I kind of start asking them certain questions. It's kind of like let them speak upon it. You know what I'm saying? Let them speak upon these things. And people, they talk about it. And a lot of these things are things that people don't really speak to people about. Mm-hmm. And they cry. You know what I'm saying? They cry. Some people just... they talk about after it's done, like how much better they feel because they got a chance to like really release that stuff. And before I even get into the consultation, I kind of really get into it and talking to them about creating your own reality and creating your own reality with your thoughts and how you think about things and projecting and manifesting your thoughts. And so this is when we start to get into our breathing exercises. It really kind of hits in, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. And we sit there, you know what I'm saying? I'll sit there and we sit there and I'll sit there and let you and try to talk you to and keep you in a place where your mind is on black and your focus is on nothing but darkness, you know what I mean? And then try to help pull some of these things out of people. And when I tend to release them from the ropes, either they cry, some people shout, some people come without even me having to do anything, touching their genitals, anything like that's not even the whole point of this stuff, and that's what it is. I've had some sessions where people they feel like they've been through some really traumatic things. And
are they mostly traumatic sexual experiences?
Not all the time. Sometimes it's just things that just fuck up your concentration for you about to bust a nut. That's all. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to. Oh, sorry. It doesn't always have to be. It doesn't have to always be something that's crazy traumatic to maybe to everybody, but somehow affected them in a way where it could be some people that just been they were talked people talked shit about them as a kid and they've been really really self conscious and before they get to the point they over fucking think things and blow the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Do you do this with women and men or just women?
Just women.
And do you notice like a certain type of woman, whether it be like their profession or their attitude or
my clients I know one thing that when I first got into this and I really didn't realize that I got into the BDSM, I thought it was about sex and I thought it was certain things and I realized that like. By having sex with somebody doing the whole act, it kind of cuts certain type of connection off. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized, okay, let me take sex out the picture and see how things go, I started realizing that people really open up in a certain, and really, really open up a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to tap into them during my sessions in another whole realm. In a lot of my classes, I teach guys and I teach other people, teach partners, period, is to like take sex out the picture. Sex is fucking you up. Dick and putting dick in the hole, pussy in it, that shit is fucking the picture. If you concentrate on everything else besides that,
yeah,
you're going to get them to another whole level. And of course you're going to get some pussy at the end. Like it's just a mind fuck for yourself and for them to like, you know what I mean? To get yourself into that realm. If it's in the back of your mind, your subconscious, you know that you're just trying to get some pussy. You're just trying to get the honey. You're going to skip certain levels, skip certain signs to get to the honey. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and the thing is too, like sex to most people is like, people ask me like, how do you have sex with a woman? And I'm like, how do I not? Mm-hmm. Like, people's idea of sex is literally pussy in a mm-hmm. vagina. So are gay men virgins? Right. Are lesbians virgins? Like, what is our idea of sex? And to a lot of people, spanking can be sex. Mm-hmm. Choking can be sex. Oral sex. Whatever. And I like what you're saying about taking the sex out of it, because our societal view on what sex is kind of fucked up. Like, I've had way better experiences outside of that kind of sex.
I feel like the niche is out of sex. I feel like... everybody's having sex. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets to that part. So if you can focus on everything around that and not
the kink shit that we're trying to get y'all into.
Right. If you're trying to get everybody to get into that shit, you pull away from that and actually get around everything else around it, you actually become a better lover.
Do you find that there's truth in people that are wanting to be dominated or generally dominant people in their personal lives? We've talked about how, like, cops are always the ones that love to get pissed on or spanked or whatever. Mm. Like, that powerful people like that? Have you seen, noticed that trend?
There is that flip. I know that a lot of the sisters I deal with, they're not no slouches. They all holding their shit down. They all got the thing going on. They all holding relationships, have families. They have their thing. They're not, not necessarily, they're very dominant. So a lot of them are very dominant in their everyday life. You know what I'm saying? They got to take charge and they got to hold shit down and they got to, this is that. So when it comes down to, in the bedroom, or it comes down to certain situations, they want to take, they want to, they don't want to have to do that.
Relinquish control, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And right. I noticed that a lot of times I have like a lot of, I have a lot of clients that are escorts and prostitutes and stuff like that. And they actually see me for services too, because literally they getting a bunch of, you know, they're having sex for money and it kind of takes away from the, they're faking it all day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they you're fake. You're probably not going to get from a job.
Right. They're faking it all day to do all this and that. And at the end of the day, they're still horny to a certain level, but they don't want no dick because they've been having dick all day. But they still want like non-penetrative services to actually
go. My friend is like that. You know what I mean? So the vanilla shit for this week, I actually found. And what it's going to do is get us into discussing the safety around what you do and specifically bondage. So a woman is charged in her husband's kinky sex death. A Maury County woman has been charged with reckless homicide for what her attorney says was the accidental asphyxiation of her husband after he consented to being bound and gagged. The whole family is upset with what occurred. I'm not going to say the name. This is coming from the Daily Herald. We stand by the fact that this was an accident. According to the arrest warrant, the woman placed duct tape over her husband's mouth and eyes, put a ball gag in his mouth, and then tied bandage around his head, leaving only his nostrils showing. She also tied his hands and legs behind his back. Then she left him for 20 hours. Apparently, this was not the first time it happened. Authorities found the 29-year-old's body, and she now faces 12 years imprisoned if found guilty.
There's a lot of accidental suicides like this. From the hanging themselves.
If you even just look up, like, bondage, like, I
laws
guess...
Laws around bondage laws.
Like, or you don't, bad bondage, there, yeah, or wrong...
There like, is, there's
literally
no,
nothing but stories on top of stories
and,
about...
And there's no leeway. There's, like, if anything ever happens to you, something happens to some... I am fuck city. There's, like, when the court of law, I was doing something that I had
he
no
said,
business
fuck
doing.
City.
You know, yeah, in the court of law, bondage gets looked at in a certain way, too, so they just throw you under the bus as far as if people getting hurt. So,
how do you go about... being safe with your, because there are people like he, I'm sure, requested to be left for 20 hours. And what we're going to do this episode, we're also going to get into the 13 types of bondage. Mm-hmm. And this is on there. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go through the different types of bondage, what they mean and how they differ. But for this, so that we don't have to
my thoughts
are
like this.
How do you say safe?
I look at it like this.
Yes.
Bondage is not safe.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? People want to say, okay, safe. No, it's safe. If you can do it safely, this and that, it's just as safe as rock climbing or mountain climbing.
Oh, sure.
To me, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, it's safe. Like, people can do it, and if you have the skill, you can get up and you can actually do it, and you're able to do it. But if the wrong motherfucker get up on that shit and I know what the fuck you're doing,
he's gonna fall
and fucking die. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it has that type of you have to approach it like that. You know what I'm saying? You have to approach it, okay, if you're a new beginner, you just don't jump until getting on the top of the highest, craziest mountain and think you're gonna climb that shit.
So do you carry like scissors to make sure you can cut someone out or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay, this is the thing. Nothing. You definitely got to be safe. Where this lady fucked up at, what she fucked up at is that she didn't use her own discretion. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I've had a session one time where I had a girl, and the way the ropes were set up, when I twisted the ropes in the middle of the rope, it would choke her. And she's like, harder, harder, harder. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, harder. And at this point, my hand is shaking. I know I'm like at the top of my strength. And then she kind of just like kind of passes out. And I catch her. And I'm like, yo, and she's like, all right. She wakes out of it. And it was all good. But in my head, I was like, never again. Now, you're going to tell me how much I'm going to do to you. Whatever I'm administering to you, I'm going to determine what I'm going to administer to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And how much of that I'm going to give you. You know what I'm saying? So if this dude says, yeah, I'm tying my mouth up, double tape my fucking face, throw me in the fucking closet, and leave me there for 20 hours, my ass is going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that shit. But I'm first going to say, yeah, sure, pay me. He's going to pay me. Then I'm going to say, all right, now that I have you tied, I'm going to pull you out here in 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a
whatever.
Lot of you have never heard of the tape thing. If you watched, it's a very popular, not documentary, but what's it called? Bio, docu, something.
Bondage.
The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
There's a whole fashion line off of shit.
Huh?
There's a whole fashion line off of tape.
Yeah, there is.
You could take that shit with Zach.
But in there, he tapes a dude all the way around his face. Mm-hmm. And I remember Googling it like, oh shit, we have to make this a kink of the week because a lot of people have never seen that. Mm-hmm. But it's totally common. I've seen it
they
on
did
real
that
sex
on you.
I do it with plastic wrap.
Netflix.
I do plastic wrap.
Yeah, Netflix.
I like to take plastic wrap in. Like, I do this thing where I tie the girl from plastic wrap, and as I got her tied up, and once I get her fully up, and she's like locked in, then I just kind of go over her face. She's kind of panics a little bit.
That just reminds me of Dexter.
And then I just pop a hole right in her mouth, you know what I mean? Make sure she can breathe. It's just, a lot of shit is mind fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people.
I'm claustrophobic. That to me would completely be like.
But just the thing,
where I can't
around
do
my
anything.
Face, I couldn't handle it. But,
it's one thing. But I know that people are gonna. I know people's love, so I'm not gonna sit there and let you fucking start to actually gag for air. It's just whoop, look at you in your eyes, pop that shit.
No, you know what I'm for
just
that,
fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think? Like, yeah, like how long is someone wrapped up?
What is too long?
Well, usually I can feel it. I can feel when I keep my people tied up with different things. So when I first start a session, I'll throw a girl in these ropes right here. These are more of a stretchy material. They're made out of a
They look like the material of your maxi dress this summer.
It's basically like a bikini
rayon.
It's spandex. You know what I'm saying? I taken and I made ropes out of it because I was doing stuff on dancers and they couldn't really dance and do what they wanted to do with this. So they still want the look and they still want the glow. So I literally sewed these hands, and put them together, make them long enough so I can tie somebody up with. And then when I put them on, they glow and I get different materials and flavors and do like that. And I sell the ropes and all that good stuff.
I like that. So we're going to get into, if you guys haven't known already, the kink of the week is bondage. So we're going to get through these different types of bondage. And if you have anything as far as historical background to them, or if you've done them or have any experiences.
I did all those.
You did. I know. I said this to you before. I was like, can you speak on these? So the first one is Shibari, also known as Kinbaku. Mm-hmm. It is one of the oldest and most popular types of bondage today. This form of bondage originated in Japan and is known for using silk ropes, artful tying skills, and layering ropes to turn the bound person into work of art. So is that pretty much what you would consider what you do?
Mm-hmm. That's Shibari.
This one, and I think Weezy may have a story about this, it's gagging. Mm-hmm. So gags are one of the most common bondage related sex toys on the market, and she actually brought one to the live show. If you guys came, it may have been New York show last year, but this is a whole genre of bondage. The concept behind gagging is to either bind someone in a way that makes it impossible to speak or breathe if you're into breath play, or to force someone's mouth open. Do you want to let them know kind of the ball gag, or I don't think she had a ball gag of the gag that you
it's
did at
gag,
the live
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it just had holes in it. It's just a ball gag. Like, there can be all different kind of ball gags. Like, this one is, I guess you could compare it to a belt, right? And you put it on. I like the holes in it because it's easier for me
you
to breathe
through. That's why they make the holes from.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't need that. They go through their nose.
Yeah, some people breathe through their nose. And the holes are so. To me, the holes ones help you breathe a little bit easier, which makes the saliva don't build up so fast. But the one with the ball, the holes in your mouth,
you
drool a lot with it.
Which is truthfully like a lot
for me,
of
that's,
like, the
that's
sexiest
the point
part.
I like out of the gag.
That's
like,
what
I don't,
you like about it.
I don't care to like keep you from speaking. Like I want to hear all that shit, but I also want to gag you and just see you just fucking. Just
drool.
Yeah, all the spit.
The drool is my favorite part of it, but I have such a bad gag reflex. I'll drool, like, regardless. But I think, I don't know. It's funny because, like, there's such small amounts of gagging that people don't even realize they've had done to them, right? Whether it be, like, a pillow in your mouth or, like, putting something in your mouth to make you quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all just using one thing or another. Like, I think that gagging can be super sexy for you, either, like, the quiet thing or, like, the drooling, which a lot of people don't realize,
I
really
do a hand gag. That's how, like, you reach around and you basically gag her with your own hand or, like, a bite, like, right here, just meat right here in your hand. And just tell her to bite it and you just hold it.
Right, it's like when you're
Just hold it right in there.
So
like right in there,
even though that doesn't mean not sound like gagging to y'all, when something's deep enough, think about like going to the dentist when like they put something in there, you're like, and you have to clamp down when you do the X-rays,
right,
and they put it deep enough, it makes you gag. That's the same with the hand gag. I've had that too.
So the next type of bondage is sensory deprivation. This one specifically, I've shared on the show that I'm not into because I was stealthed while doing this. So sensory deprivation is one or more extreme types of bondage, and it's the practice that uses restraints to reduce your ability to hear, feel, or see things around you. The most common example of sensory deprivation gear is the ever-present blindfold, as we all know. There's actually, in extreme cases, sensory deprivation chambers. Do you know anything about those?
Yeah, they're like soundproof rooms you can go in where you can't hear anything. Those are
not
really extreme.
That's really extreme, right?
You get some of them little soft earplugs. You put the earplugs in. You blindfold them.
And then they don't really see what's about to happen see or hear. See or okay, hear, that hear could be exciting. Maybe happen, the yeah. I don't know about the blindfolding again.
I like to use. Well, I realized that to tap into people the way I want to tap into them, just got to be some sensory deprivation going on, and there's got to be some sensory of other type of feels going on. So I use a feather and like a spike at the same time. I like to give pleasure and pain at the same time as I'm doing it, and it kind of sends your mind into this, you know, weird place. If you can't see it and you don't hear when it's coming, right. That's another thing, you know what I'm saying?
That's very interesting. It's crazy, too, because the amount even when you of trust can hear, that
you
have
to yeah, have. Yeah, even when you can hear, I keep my bag really slow. I don't want you to hear shit. Y'all hold things you don't hear which whip I'm gonna grab, because some people, after they know my stuff, they know what it sounds like. They know they hear the shit rattling. They're like, oh, you know what I mean? So sometimes yeah. We use that to fuck with them. I also do this other thing too, where I have them blindfold for a little while, and then when I take the blindfold off, I show them a blade, and I pop the blade in front of them.
Oh, nice. And then,
I blindfold them back, grab baby oil and a credit card, and slice it across their chest and put the baby oil at the same time. It shit feels like they're getting sliced open, and they fucking freak out.
I don't know about that.
It's just the fuck people's minds up,
y'all. That's some bullshit. There's a very vanilla blindfolding fantasy I have.
It just fucks me. Somebody put me onto that shit, and I was like, yo, I love it.
Dexter, the way didn't I say Dexter earlier? Like, that's what this shit I'm telling you.
Like, there's, I don't know what Kink of the Week we did recently, but it's like that operation thing with being sliced. One of my friends, there's a place in the Orlando called The Woodshed. Shout out to James, my friend. And he was telling me, like, yo, there's a guy that came up to me with, like, mad cuts all over him. Like, he's super into that shit.
Yeah, that's a little
and
different.
He's like, they do it all the time, like, in a super safe way. Like, the people that know how to do it can. That's where you go, and there's a professional that does it, probably much like yourself, right? You'll probably, maybe you could get a little bit of a mark.
I don't do no blood play. Like, I don't do no, I don't want to see
blood.
No blood
play is crazy,
I don't play no blood. I don't
because
do no
that's
anal
when someone
play,
makes it feel, it feels
play,
real. There's even like on Pornhub, like the fake blood scenes where it's like super.
Yeah.
It's
just like,
no, I have a blindfold like fantasy that I'm like really excited to do soon where, so like during a threesome, I really want to be blindfolded, but. Like, and bound, so, like, I can't really do anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, if they let me taste something, maybe, but, like, basically just sit there and have to listen to, like, everything that's going on. And then if I'm allowed to, like, masturbate, great. But I'm so hype. I got the JetBlue mask ready.
You ready? I'm like, hey.
I was on the plane. I was like, don't even buy one now.
I'm sure, yeah.
The next one is really interesting. And I don't know if anyone has ever asked you to do this. The next one is actually humiliation bondage.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, the elements of BDSM that turn them on are the concepts and situations behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Humiliation bondage is one of those. For example, a form of situational bondage would be tying up someone naked in public just so people would point and laugh. Or it may involve using a gag that has a toilet brush on the end and forcing a slave to clean the toilet. Humiliation bondage is incredibly versatile when it comes to both the tools and situation it can include, just as long as humiliation is involved. Has anyone ever asked you for this sort of bondage?
Yeah, I mean, it could be done in different extremes. There's different extremes. It could be a humiliation where people want to be outside and be humiliated, or they just, or you know, they want to be embarrassed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it could be as simple as some people just want to be called slut, dirty, nasty, this, and that. Like, be a fucking verbally abusive, you know what I'm saying? And it could be just in the bedroom, you know what I'm saying? It could be like, yo.
So it doesn't have
just,
to be in public.
Yeah, it could be just in the bedroom, and it's just humiliation within the dynamic. You know what I mean? Call her hoe outside, gets knocked the fuck out.
Right. Anyway,
you
know, so the
I
next
thought it was cool.
The next one is what we talked about. It's facial bondage, which is exactly what it sounds like. Facial bondage and gagging often go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between these two types is actually that gagging is specifically focused on a person's mouth, while facial bondage tends to focus on the entire face.
Is this facial bondage?
Yes. Eyes, cheeks, nose, and everything else.
I have some stuff where I tie people's face like that. That's facial bondage, too. But also facial bondage would be I've also tied girls' face into my lap and, like, just tied their face into my lap.
Shut up.
Yeah. You can't even, like, they can only pull their head up only for so far because the ropes are right there. Like, I can always just spin my fingers.
So they don't be sucking dick?
Yeah, he's like, this is not for a show. This is my personal shit.
You a sex worker, man. You a sex worker.
No, this is my personal shit. This is my personal shit.
Okay.
I do it in three different realms. So I have like my artsy fartsy stuff.
That's
all
right. We don't want the IRS coming for you even.
Yeah, no, I do. I have my artsy fartsy stuff that I do for a show, and I do for shows. I do lessons with people. People just want the rope sometimes. This is not, then I have my clients, which are the fetish services I showed you guys.
Right.
And then I have my personal situations, you know what I'm saying? Which I will have my whoever's.
Heard you, sir.
Heard.
The next one is predicament bondage. Mm-hmm. Predicament bondage is bondage that's done to put people in a more uncomfortable situation, which is actually probably what you just talked to. This could be anything from being hogtied with a massager across the clitoris to being forced to ride a horse while tied in an awkward position.
Mm-hmm.
The entire thing that makes predicament bondage a different kind of BDSM is the fact that it's designed to make the submissive squirm uncomfortably.
Right.
So that's probably kind of more what you talked about. What's
I do
crazy
that a lot.
Is,
forced orgasm.
Shout out to Liz Goldwyn. She was just on the show, and she talked about how she knows someone who did the hog tying,
mm-hmm.
and it like became emotionally like draining for her to be into that position mm-hmm. for as long as she was, and then also untying. But it was hours of it.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you normally spend hog tying? Maybe
it depends. It depends on the person.
Whether it's paid or in personal life.
I usually don't do nothing longer. Have nobody in the ropes longer than 2 hours.
And okay,
that,
2 hours.
And for that to happen, that means we had to been in the situation for at least 2.5 hours. You know what I'm saying? But I do
right.
is I'll untie somebody and put them in another position. I'll tie from one position. I'll tie them 3 or 4 times if I want to. You know what I'm saying? If I have to. You know what I mean? I'll tie you in a certain position so I can get to a certain way, and then I'll flip you over, tie you in another position, and then tie it to a cross. Then, you know, I just,
yeah.
you know, just I flip it. I have no sense to not keep somebody. My thing is this. If I tie a person in a position that they're actually comfortable sitting in, I can play longer. I can get to them better. If I gotta change them, pull them out and change them out, because realistically is that if somebody's hurting or in their pain, I don't want to injure nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm not trying
right.
to injure nobody. So you gotta, you know, when you tell me you got a fucked up knee, you got a fucked up elbow, and I'm not going to take your arm and jack it behind your back or have you on your knees that I know your knee's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Or if you're ever in a position, you're like, your dash is really fucking hurting. Hey, I'm gonna stop right there and pull you out right there. None of that shit.
Have you ever had to cut someone out?
I never had to cut nobody out, but I had to take people out and read them. I've had people who had like panic attacks in the middle of the like ropes, and I had to like rub their hair and just be like, listen, if you keep pulling the ropes,
and do you keep like, you do it
yourself.
Again?
Yeah, and actually we smoked some weed, and then we started over, and then we finished the session. It was dope, yo. She just needed to get higher. He wasn't high,
before
it
got tired. I'm going to go through about 2 more, and mm-hmm. then we're going to maybe do a little quick demonstration. The next one is hair bondage. Hair bondage is often done to restrict movement, add a certain psychological layer of subservience to a sub, or for that incredibly appealing pulling sensation that many people love to feel. So what I'll do for our patrons is there's actually a video of the basics of hair bondage.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is kind of give you that effect of maybe when you mm-hmm. ask a guy to pull your hair mm-hmm. in the bedroom. And it actually has her sitting down and tying. So I'm going to make sure you guys who are patron members get to see that. This last one is probably the most interesting. And so I wanted to get into this before we take it back mm-hmm. to maybe a little bit more vanilla bondage. This one is called mummification / vacuum sealing.
Mm-hmm. I do that with plastic wrap.
I've seen the flat vacuum sealing.
This one looks crazy, and I'm also going to post that for you guys, too. So mummification and vacuum sealing are two types of bondage that either terrify people, soothe people, or turn them on. That being said, it isn't the type of bondage for people who are claustrophobic, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
This type of bondage uses either bondage tape, a leather suit, a latex suit, or a vacuum bed to give people a full body bondage experience. Almost every inch, except for maybe your head, will be covered with material during this kind of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the method used, this is considered an extreme form of restriction bondage. Depending on how extreme you are with your bondage practice, you may or may not be able to breathe. So this is definitely brings in the element of breath play, but also being to where this kind of probably isn't something you want to do without a professional, or something you definitely want to do as much research in as possible before you try it with your partner.
I say that too, and I say just trusting your partner. I mean, you need to have a partner that listen. If you're looking at them like, yo, this shit is not your home, or they start bugging the fuck out, they're gonna just stop. And if you got
safe
any,
words, are
yeah,
important.
Safe words were just. You know, I tell people they could pick a safe word. I was like, you can pick a safe word. But like, what's my safe word? I was like, whatever you want it to be. Like,
what are some of the safe words you heard?
You know what I mean? I don't pick a safe word. I let them choose a safe word because
what are some of the funny ones you've heard?
All kind of stuff. You know, all kind of just people just whatever.
Think of one.
I get all kind of stuff. I get
Yesterday, a guy said kumquat was his.
Kumquat. Because he said, when else will I use the word kumquat?
See, that's cool, but see, I tell people don't use nothing crazy. I say, use something that's going to come off your tongue really easy. Like, stop. If you just say stop, and I'll stop. Like, you don't got to have nothing crazy, because if you're in pain, if you're in a certain situation, sometimes you're not,
you might forget that
extra, like, oh, I said stop, and remember your first word, that could break your fucking arm. And you say, or you could choke the fuck out. Like,
right.
This shit is serious, so I'm like, it ain't got to be that fucking serious. If it ain't serious, that's serious for me. If you squirming wrong, like you is really, really hurting you, I'm going to let up a little bit.
What were you doing the last time that someone used it with you?
Last time it was spanking. Usually it's a spanking.
That's when I use it. Paddles.
It's funny, we did spanking at the LA show. And that's where we were like, when to say a safe word. Mm-hmm. But the girl literally spanked me in the same exact spot. So it wasn't even that she got harder with spanking.
Right.
But being that it had been done in the same spot multiple times, I was like, okay, girl. Or kumquat, or whatever.
See, you should be able to say whatever you say. That should, if you put using common sense, stop means stop. Yeah. Like, whatever the fuck.
It does.
I don't care if you say in Japanese. I don't know Japanese, but if you say and you look at me a certain way, I'm gonna fucking pull back and be like, and just check.
Take two seconds to be like, you good? We were talking about yellow.
I go back to it. You know what I mean?
Like, as far as like, I like yellow and red with spanking, because that lets me know like
it's
how much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But spanking with the paddle too, the reason I've had trouble with it is because like it doesn't bruise you necessarily, but you can still really feel it the next day. And I'm like, yo, it's not purple, but like I could barely sit.
It's weird. So some people, for most of the black people, I don't ever get them bruised. They get some bruises, some stuff like that, but not crazy. But I've done a couple white people, and I feel like I didn't do nothing much different than I did to my sisters. But their whole shit look like I can't even give them pictures. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna make you sign a consent before I even give you these pictures. This shit look crazy.
My legs right now are super bruised up, and I was like, I swear I ain't stripping. I don't know what the fuck. I got all these goddamn bruises on my leg. Like I bruised, so I walked in. I was like, I need a banana, because I heard potassium helps with the goddamn bruising and shit. Right? That's what I heard.
If you guys ever like are do some BDSM and you get really bad bruising, there's a vitamin called bromelain, and the bromelain helps you with bruising. I don't know what it does with blood circulation, but it's just a basic vitamin. Order it on Amazon and that'll help you.
So I guess we're going to get into real quick if we could do a live demonstration of, I guess, let us know what type of bonding you're doing, whether it's to her hands or whatever. But we are on video. So if you have not yet, guys, check us out on YouTube. Majority of our episodes are on YouTube. Shout out to Benson, our videographer. You guys heard him on a recent episode. But definitely check it out. We have Sir Dash about to tie up Weezy. So,
by the way, I hope you asked for consent, because Mandy didn't for me.
What's going on?
Well, I didn't ask to be fucked by Sharonis during that episode either. So this is like my payback.
What the hell? No, okay. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do like a simple body harness. Something simple. I like to tie people in body harnesses and this stuff because they can still have the bondage look and still be, your hands and your feet are free. You can still walk around and do what you got to do. You can wear it as an outfit. This is something I could wear it as an outfit.
Yeah, so like,
I have girls that put these on and I teach them how to self-tie, and they literally wear this under their clothes, or they can wear this on top of your clothes. Like, wait, I'm going to put this over your outfit right here.
Okay.
And we're going to make it look fly real quick. Watch.
All right. So if you can, while you're tying, just speak up louder so that... Or I can also...
Or even we may even... I don't know how long it'll take.
I'll talk and let y'all know what he's doing. So, again, by the way, shout out to Brittany Duet. She actually lives
in LA. Should I face you or the other way?
And she has a clothing line that's... Full bondage outfit. And it's all really hard ropes.
Yeah, the hard ropes. I've seen
the hard ropes. It's super dope stuff. So if you guys are interested in maybe wearing this as attire.
It's so awkward to look at Benson videotaping me with this smirk. Like, yeah, bitch. Okay? Our cameras are normally on a fucking tripod. And this nigga got up like, let me get the zoom.
All right, boom.
Okay, so where do you start?
So you like to start in the middle of the rope. The middle of the rope is called the bite. It's the center of the rope.
Bite.
Find both ends, match the ends up, and then I kind of pull the ropes to the center of the rope. That's how I know I got the middle of my rope.
Okay, so for someone wanting to start this on the body of someone, where do you start on the body?
Start here. Boom. You get your thing. You want to get the center of the rope, right?
Uh-huh.
Once you get yourself the center of this rope, then you can put this around her neck here, right?
You're going to tie her braids? Make sure you get the braids out.
Pull them things out.
Okay.
Okay.
Now what I do here is I usually measure out. Everybody's different. Everybody's size is different. So I will come in here and bust a knot here.
Mm-hmm. Bust a knot or
a... Bust a quick... Like, it doesn't have to be nothing crazy.
Don't remember that. Bust a knot.
It's a bust a quick knot. You don't have to... It could be just like you tie your shoe. It doesn't have to be nothing complicated.
Okay.
I did all that Boy Scout shit, but honestly, all that stuff is hard to take out when it comes to... down to undoing your ropes.
So he's tying another knot now, another knot, near the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make two knots. Now come through here.
Okay.
And now he's going between her legs. So this is where she's going to start feeling that
I'm come up in here.
She's tied up.
Come here behind her hair. The same piece I put around her neck here, I'm going to come right up the top of this here and pop that here. Now from there, I can start singeing the rope and making it a little tighter.
Singeing? Right?
You feel it?
It's now going up her ass. This could be a cute little bathing suit.
Right. So what I do a lot of times with these dancers, I'll come and I'll put these on them and they'll go out and dance on the floor. Then I can switch it up for them, or would they have the outfit at first and they'll come and do one of these real quick.
Oh, I didn't suck it in. We'll do some editing or something.
Oh, let me get it for you.
Give me that instant. Ooh, he just tied my fupa back into my body. All
right.
And I wear these mom jeans.
Come here, right? I'm gonna come here, right?
It feels good.
Oh, this looks cool. And so at this point, does this cause a sexual sensation at all to some people? Or
for some people, yes.
For some, yes.
I put the knots in certain places. She got jeans on, but I like to put my knots like...
Right, where the clit is.
Right in the clit, where the clit's at. So when I'm moving around and when I'm getting spicy, she can see what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, it's rubbing her clit while you keep tying.
It feels really good.
And then it's also in her ass. So the back part would technically be in the crack of her ass.
Now, are they naked when you do this?
Yeah.
So you wash these ropes? Because this feel like BB already.
Nah, I do it. I do all this material so I can always pop them in and wash them. And then I sell them, and most of the time I just give people the ropes. If they mess them up, I'm crazy. I have tons of them.
Mess them up like with what? Their vaginal foods?
Yeah, they squirt them up.
They squirt them up.
They squirt them up.
She's like, the squirty pussy.
So is there a reason that you go all the way down to? Because you're now around her ankles.
Yeah, right now I'm just doing stuff because I like the way it looks. Like if I had the black lights on,
it does look really dope going down my legs. I like what you're doing.
Almost like making like a little outfit out of it. Like she was naked, it'd be like some old stripper outfit. Almost.
My mom just asked me why I'm not answering, and I'm like, oh, I'm working.
Are you telling me she just look?
So, for the knot on the clit, right? Mm-hmm. Can you put a knot inside of somebody?
Sometimes if they try to get in my ropes with no draws on, but I tell people, you know, put some draws on. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
That's recommended. Like,
just a little courtesy.
Yeah, you don't need to. Yeah, it's almost, save my ropes a little bit. But if you don't have the draws on, it'll sit right
where it needs to be.
So
it looks really cool. I like this.
Basically, I'm curious to know.
So now I do something like that, right?
So am I gonna? Am I gonna like sit in this and wear it, and like will it start to feel tighter?
You can sit. It'll rotate and move a little bit, but it's still for the most part it's stretchy rope, so it's not gonna go nowhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, it make my butt look bigger than it is. Yo,
I just gave you a fatty real quick.
Big old freak. I can't move, though,
so
actually. You bitches twerking?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I can't. I got no booty. So
it looks really cool.
This is a body harness. Mm-hmm. And, like, do you do a video to where someone knows they can...
Mm-hmm. When I sell the ropes, a lot of time I do, like, a little... Show them how to tie. Because you could do it all to yourself, actually. You mean? Mm-hmm. You literally could have put this on yourself, reach around yourself, and do it a different way.
Wait, what's this next one you pick up?
These are my other hard ropes. These are for really when I bind people when I'm trying to tie them down.
Let me see
that. So you ain't going
could you do
there,
something
you know
to maybe around her wrists to mm-hmm. show maybe how you would...
Well, what doesn't go... Are you up here?
I could do it anywhere. I mean, anywhere we choose to do it. You want to do it around your body?
You know, just for you guys. It's really...
Right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to... You're going to lock your arms totally up like that, right?
Okay.
And is this the most common that people ask is for the restriction of their arms and hands? Or where do you find
people don't really ask
between the legs and the arms, where do
people
want to be mostly restricted?
Get specific exactly where they
want
to get tied up. People just come to me and they're like, are you tying me up? And then they let me kind of figure it out. I mean, for the most part.
So should I be relaxing my shoulders or why are they getting tense? So
I mean, you can relax them, but they're going to, you'll see.
He said, "You'll see." I'm like, wait. So this is just very interesting. I guess for anyone who's interested in getting this, where could they buy this? At any arts and crafts store? Do they have to buy this at a sex store?
From my armpit to my titty, what is this?
Where can they buy these ropes? I know you make the other ones, but this type of rope that you're using now.
These ones I make too, these are all glow in the dark. They look weird because they don't have my lights on them, but this is like a hot pink rope.
Once I put my lights on. Oh, wow. Yeah. So what he does, guys, he actually does this with like black light and make it all coolie sheet.
So do you do like in calls or something?
Mm-hmm. I do. I go to people's homes, and then sometimes they get a hotel.
You bring a black light?
I bring my black light and everything.
Do you let them videotape it?
Depends on the situation.
If I had an arm, I would snap this. Can you do it for me?
My hands pull.
Help! This is really, really dope, though. I don't know. With me...
Oh, my God, yo.
With me, I think... Look, how are you feeling?
I feel fine. I don't feel like unsafe.
Right. I mean, there's a whole lot of. We got the lights on. You on camera?
Well, I mean, that's also the other thing. Like, I can't tell you if I just met somebody and like they wanted to tie me up and they started doing this, I wouldn't, you know. One, here's the other thing. I've never let someone dominate me that I didn't feel secure with. Like, I've never had a bad dom experience.
Right. That's but always first.
They also. I also wasn't
comfortable with.
Right. I also have been with experienced doms, so.
And so, what are you doing right now? You're finishing up the knot.
Finishing up the knot.
And could you turn around so that they can see what it looks like?
I didn't wear makeup.
Oh wow! So it's still really done very intricately. So
it's really simple. It's a short rope. The longer you are, the more you can do. Smaller pieces, because then if I want to add on, I can just add on and add on. And if it's way too long, then I'll be sitting here for a long time trying to tie up a 50-foot
right
rope. I really get a 25-foot, and then with this right here, I basically have.
And you could just
go nowhere, you know.
And how quick does that one get untied? Is it just really kind quick. Of like the...
Yeah, it's really quick.
So if she had a safe word and was like, okay, I'm done, how quick does she get out of this
My
knot?
Safe word is Wakanda. Oh, that wow, so, that's oh, so fast.
That was really fast to get out of that. Okay, so untying is definitely like with the pull of a...
Couple strings.
A couple ooh, strings ooh, ooh. And she's out.
She should be able to get out of it.
Well, that's really, really, really... Okay, I might have to try these. I mean, I might do the tying up. I don't think I want to be tied. I'm very claustrophobic.
Yo, honestly, the only uncomfortable part for me is probably like the shoulder restraint. Mm-hmm. Like not even
was my that tied right. up at the end.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, but still, never was there a point where I was like, oh my god, this is awful. So can I take thoughty pictures? With
look, she want to keep for, she want to keep for, the strength.
I got you.
Listen.
I'm dead.
About to put my titty on the
I love it. Guys, if you guys want to try this, I think it's not only does it look hot, and again, I'll even post if you guys are interested in finding bondage lingerie. I know a couple sites where you can get that. And it's cool or whatever. So we are going to go ahead while he puts the ropes back into his box. We're going to get into our home mail portion of the show. This one is actually really interesting, especially while it's current, I would say. This one is called, and Sir Dash, if you have any advice on this as well, please chime in.
Will do.
So the title of this one is No Sex During Ramadan, but he's not even Muslim. Hey ladies, I just want to start by saying how much I love you both and how much I've learned from you guys through the podcast. I'm going to get right to the point. I've been dating this guy on and off for like a year now. Last night I asked him to come over and have sex and he says he can't because of Ramadan. But the gag is, he isn't even Muslim and he didn't even start participating in Ramadan until it was 3 days in. Now, I'm not mad because he's choosing to do this for himself and his spirit, uh-huh. but this is something he chose Thank to do you. Without even uh-huh. telling me about till I asked for sex. Uh-huh. And he was at my house, laying in my bed the night before telling me about Ramadan and couldn't tell me he wasn't having sex either. I'm not sure if I'm just being a brat because I've been so horny uh-huh. or if he should have at least communicated this with me, being that he isn't even Muslim. Sorry this was so long, but I'd like to hear what you ladies have to say. Love, I ain't getting none till after June 4th.
So I just pointed at our engineer behind us, Chris.
because I know that I thought you were Muslim. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, I no longer practice, but I used to practice a couple years ago.
Be
a
Muslim.
Yeah, I used to, you know, practice Islam.
You was in your Nation of Islam shit. That's right.
We won't have to get into the details because they do pay attention to shit like this. But anyway,
you like, y'all got too many listeners for me to talk about.
I'm just saying, y'all do.
Tell us about like Ramadan for you and sex.
I participated in Ramadan for 2 years. My first one, I was engaged to a young lady, and yeah, you could have sex, actually. It just has to be during the hours of, you know, eating and all of that. But, yeah, you could pretty much smash, bro. What are you talking about? Like,
so, he lying.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, if he is, though, like, I understand and I respect his decision to not smash.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, for Ramadan, you can choose what you're giving up, right?
Honestly, yeah.
It's not like Lent, is it?
I don't know too much about Lent, but I know you could pretty much have a selection.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, tensions are a little high for me with religion right now, women's bodies, so I'm just like, fuck all of them. But,
honestly,
I will say, I do think it's kind of weird that this dude randomly decided to, like, pop up and be Muslim. Sex. Like, is it a keto diet? Are we using Ramadan convenient. For, like,
not only that, he also joined it 3 days late. Like, oh, I see everybody doing Ramadan.
Can you do that?
Is that a thing you can do?
I feel like that's like almost like a consent almost type of thing. At any point in time, if that's what you're saying, or there's a reason why you don't want to have
But Ramadan as an excuse, I feel like it's okay to do it for self-discipline, and you have your own self-discipline thing, you're trying to take a break or whatever,
then just say you're just trying to take a break or this and that. But if you don't, sometimes some people just want to take a break but don't have a significant reason why they want to take a break, and so they use whatever, Ramadan or whatever, something like that, to maybe possibly, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it just seems like, just be honest with this. Yeah.
So, I guess. I don't know. I'm not here for someone using a religion reason as to, like, especially when you're late, you don't practice it. I don't know. To me, I would wonder, like, maybe the communication of why, and really seeing if he's doing it for purpose, or does he understand Ramadan and what it actually means? Because then if it is something to where he's new, because I'm not going to lie, I lived in Asia for about 6 months, and I was really, like, interested in Buddhism and what it stood for and what it was about.
Really,
so if this is
it.
Something that he's like, maybe I want to convert to this and this is how I want to start, then I would understand him. But for him just to say, well, it's Ramadan, I gave up sex, nigga.
I mean, here's the thing, too.
Okay, now, is this the thing? Now, is that what really happened, or is that her version of what she's saying? Because sometimes people just break it down and really get simple with it. So when they explain it to you, it's like, yeah, he just, you know,
that's
Ramadan,
a good point.
You know,
if we could only see the
but
other
maybe,
end of
yeah,
the
but
home
maybe
now.
Maybe he did really break it down and really was and really was been studying.
And
really
she
been,
still was like, nigga, please.
Right, and just because she ain't getting no dick, she's just like, ah, fuck this. She don't use Ramadan, but he might be really studying. Before we get up out of here,
I want to thank Sir Dash or Sir Dashington for coming through to Horrible Decisions. I hope that you guys
learned
a lot about bondage, but now also may want to bring it into the bedroom. Before we get out of here, can you let our listeners know where they can find you? We'll also put all of his information in the description of this episode.
Sounds good. Well, my name is Sir Dashington. Thank you guys for having me, first of all.
Thank you for making it.
You guys can find me at www.eroticropesbydash.com. On Instagram, you can find me at eroticropesbydash3. Twitter, ropesbydash. Email, ropesbydash@gmail.com.
All of that.
Before we also get out of here, you guys just heard me bring up some reproductive shit. You might have seen me say on Twitter, like, I had really just was not in the mood to work today. You know, like, I was... It's hard to come in here sometimes when you're just, like, really in those emotions of what's going on around you. And as someone who's had an abortion and just seen a lot of Twitter slander, and I don't even have a Twitter. Like, you know, we post about horrible decision shit, and I was, like, still really annoyed. Whether just seeing the hierarchy of what abortion is okay to people. Oh, yeah, it's okay if, you know, you get an abortion around this time but not this one. It's okay if you get two but not four, and blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted to look up as much as I can and see what I could do. So I found some stuff. I'm sure all of you probably feel as angry, especially if you're, I guess, open enough to listen to this podcast. So if you don't know, Alabama, it's now illegal to have an abortion after 6 weeks. The trouble with that is that most of us find out we're pregnant around 6 weeks.
you know, you know, 4 weeks in a month, and then you miss your period, and you're like, oh, and then boom, it's 6 weeks, it's too late. So, a few things that we can do, right? So, if you have, I don't know, 10 minutes of time, you can call one of your legislatives that are in, or anyone that's in Alabama, and, you know, leave them a voicemail about how you're feeling affected by this. I'll leave the number in the description. Donate to local grassroots organizations. Planned Parenthood, of course. There's another one called NARAL, and the National Network of Abortion Funds. Actually, anytime someone passes me in the street in New York about the motherfucking dogs, I'm like, dog, I only give my money to black people in Planned Parenthood. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But I did want to say, volunteering as a clinic escort. So I already looked up a place in Alabama to do it as. Some of you guys saw the Louisville, Kentucky thing on Twitter where these people, there was like five escorts for one woman. She like was totally covered, her face. Like people were screaming at her. Like it's crazy. I know there's Ohio and Georgia that have crazy bans. So if you're in these cities or nearby, maybe make it a girls' trip. You know what I'm saying? Go with your friends. Do something great for someone else. It's going to do nothing but make you feel good. And I also wanted to talk about just the repercussions of the abortion ban. So currently they're saying this. I don't know how true this is, but they are saying that if you live in Alabama and you go to another state to get an abortion, you can also be charged. Yes, when you come home. So here are a few rules from Planned Parenthood. Number one, take an at-home test only because of rule number two, tell no one. Don't text over the phone, social media. Everybody's like freaking out about it. But three, when you take your vacation to another state, just go under the guise to sightsee or visit family. And four, when you obtain the abortion, do not sign any waivers. If you don't sign any waivers for consent to providers to communicate to other ones, you are safe. Look up HIPAA. Your information is federally protected. If the one and only person who knows you had an abortion leaks it, they will go to prison because they violated HIPAA. And unless you've broken the other rules, they're the only ones who know. That was from an anonymous source at Planned Parenthood. So I don't know how true it is that you could go to fucking jail or like be, you know, persecuted for having an abortion in another state, but just keep aware of those things, making sure you don't sign any paper. I would even so much as pay with motherfucking cash for an abortion.
But not only that, there's a lot of laws. There's about 15 states currently affected as well, and more bills looking to be passed. So, don't think that we aren't going to speak on this. We have had an episode where Weezy and I both opened up about our abortions, but I am planning an episode in which we will discuss kind of what's going on in our current state as far as politically, but also just getting some women who are in that space professionally to get on this show and really dig deep into abortion, the effects on the body, and of course the political stance in which our country is currently taking. So be on the lookout for that episode coming
up. Send us in some emails too of your personal stories, like especially men. I think that is a great and untouched space with abortions. So many women like talk about their abortions and get shit on for it, and there's plenty of niggas that have had four or five, six out here and don't talk about those moments. Don't talk about how abortion saved their lives or their careers or their money. So definitely share those stories with us. We'll totally be anonymous if you want us to, but just share that with us so these women know that they're not alone.
And once again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Peace.
What is the craziest thing you've seen on a flight yet? Or craziest moment?
I think catching someone give a blowjob.
Wait, that happened on your flight too?
And to Orlando. It's a million kids
from
on that
where?
Flight.
Girl, and mine was from Lauderdale.
It gotta be Florida. It just gotta be Florida, motherfuckers. Yeah.
And then were they short legs? Were they long?
No, it's like from New York. JFK, Orlando. To Fort Lauderdale.
Well, that's 3 hours. Other people in the...
No, so they were in the back row.
And you put a little story. You put a little blanket over your head, right?
No, but the flights are full. Orlando flights are full
with
of
kids, and they be crying.
And they run back and forth.
That's where we're from. We always
and
take
we
that
heard
point.
The. Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't even give head being quiet.
No,
she not
no,
slick.
That's how we knew.
And bro, shut the fuck up. Wait, there's a way to give so head quiet, bro.
Wait, you tapped her?
Wait, on the head while she was in action?
You tapped her back.
We had to tell her, like, hey, there's a bathroom. Like,
wait, but two people can't go into the bathroom.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
And it's not against the law, it's FYI. Not.
Bitch, you're lying.
It's not.
You
it's
telling
not.
Me.
Why are you so
right
loud,
now.
Weezy?
You loud.
You can fucking fuck in a bathroom?
But do you want to?
Yes.
Bitch, no,
no,
you don't.
No, you don't.
No, the fuck you do not.
Let me tell you why I just
my niggas, up. My niggas
I was at fucking LAX this weekend, okay? Drunk, Delta Sky Club, talking with this dude, and he's like, I bet y'all.
No, I wasn't on the flight with my nigga, but he bet everybody at the fucking bar $100. He's like, y'all got to pay for my drinks. If I'm right, two people can go in the bathroom and you can fuck and they can't say anything to you.
They can.
And I was like, no fucking way. So someone Googled something and it proved him wrong. And he paid for all of our drinks.
Oh, y'all owe him y'all some money. Cash out that nigga some money.
Technically owe him some pussy.
That too.
But, so what do you, so you told her she could go in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all about to give everybody locked up.
I know, right?
I know. They about to organ.
You get in trouble. So when you act up and you don't listen to us, you get a ticket. And it's like, hey, if you don't stop, you're going to get
TSA or whatever.
No, police.
Police.
The police. PAPD. Or whoever it is.
Whoever. I thought me and Mandy was about to get a ticket when she was loud as hell. We was on that Delta flight.
How was it?
She was like, I got my bathing suits, girl. I got my.
That was heading into. No. We weren't even on the plane.
That was in the air.
I wish the motherfucker would tell me to shut the fuck up. Bitch, no.
Nah, my bad experience was going over to DR, and this lady was with her.
She was selling pussy.
She was with her dude at the time, but her side nigga was on the plane with her as well at the same damn time. So they go to the back of the aircraft.
Oh,
and
what a tale.
The dude is asleep. And she goes to the back of the aircraft with her side dude. They go inside of the back and they're in the bathroom. I don't know if they're talking. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
And you know what they was doing.
Yeah. So the guy comes out. The main man comes and he knocks on the door. And they open the door. And he slaps the shit out of her. And the side guy is just standing there like, what do I do?
Bitch, what you was doing?
What you think I was doing?
Were you just watching?
Do we have anybody here?
No. I literally was like,
I would be like, that's what the fuck you get trying to be.
So
slick.
Now we gotta call the captain, let them know that there's an emergency going on.
Oh, Nick, y'all ain't land early for that, did y'all?
Oh no, we actually didn't land early. We diverted.
Even worse. Wait, what?
Because the niggas was fighting, bitch.
Yes.
How you stopped them?
You got pepper spray?
Who? Not me, no.
So what do y'all do in a case of niggas? And by that I mean however you take it.
Can we tell them? Yeah, we have flexi rods.
Yeah, you restrain them. So they're like
okay,
handcuffs.
Okay, gotcha.
That's it.
Okay.
And
soda.
People are
and a soda
always...
Can.
What you do with the soda can?
Throw it at them.
I'm done with y'all.
No, can y'all stop, please?